Okay, we're picking up from the last line of Chav Zayin Amar Beis. Our learning is once again sponsored Le'ila Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama Shehav and Aliyah. So now the Gemara is discussing the beginning part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah told us, Keshem Shemayim Bodkin Osa, Kach Hamayim Bodkin Oso. So I mentioned already in passing that who is the Oso, is the suspected bowl, but that's not so pasha. It says the Gemara, Oso Liman. Who is this Oso? Who is the water testing? Maybe Ilema Labal, maybe it's actually referring to the husband. Maybe just like the waters test the wife, so too, if the husband violated other Isurim, he's going to be tested when he puts her through this whole process and he did other Averas, he's also going to be punished if he did an Avera. Baal Mayavid, but what do you mean? What are you assuming the husband did over here that assumes that he should be tested? V'chi Tema, you're going to suggest, turning on to Chav Ches Amar Alf now, the Isbe Avon Bad Kelemayim, that if the husband has an Avera, the waters will test him. That's what we're talking about. Maybe he had a violation of having bia with his wife after he warned her, and that's an isser. Or maybe he had bia outside, he had someone else he had relations with. So the Gemara says, Ki isbe avon bedidei mika bat kalamai, but when the husband has a sin, do the waters test his wife? Atanya venika ha'ish me'avon ve'isha ha'it tisas avonu. The Braisa tells us, the Limud, that the Pasuk says that when the person, the man, is innocent, so too the venika ishma avon ve'isha, meaning, because see, the Pasuk Pshat is, this is talking about the fact that the husband's not going to be punished for making his wife go through this whole process when she was innocent. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation over here to mean that when the person is innocent from sinning, the woman is going to be Tisa Zavona, or also for creating her to do the process and killing her. That's also, he's not going to be punished for that. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, besides what I just said as Pshuto Shel Mikra, is Man She'ish Menukam Avon Mayim Bodkin Oso, that only when the husband is free of sin, do we assume that the waters will test his wife. However, Ein Ha'ish Menukam Avon Ein Amayim Bodkin Es Ishto, but if the husband is not innocent, then the waters will not test his wife. If he had bia with her after she became usher to him, that's the way Rashi is, that's the testing would not be effective. The Rambam in Hilchos Sota, he says, Vayter, he says if the husband had any Isser relationships, then it would, the water's not ever testing him. The Rambam seems to actually be based on a Gemara, almost Beferish, and Daf Mem Zayin, which we'll get to later. The Rambam seems a very strong argument. But either way, that's the drasha that we have over here, that if the husband is he himself is not good, then there's not going to be, then the waters aren't testing his wife at all. So then obviously the waters aren't testing the wife, then it's not testing him either. So then that's not the limud, that the Keshem Shemayim Bodkin Asakach Bodkin Masov. Ella must be referring to the Boel, must be referring to the suspected adulterer. He is going to be punished. If she in fact did had znus outside of being married, she had relations with someone else, so then the waters will test him as well. And if he is guilty, he will be punished wherever he is miraculously, and he will die. Listen, Kediktani Seifa, but so the Gemara is bothered by that. If we're saying that's referring to the Boel, then the Lashon is a little bit bothering. Problematic. Kishim shasur labal, kachasur labal, the Gemara says. The Lashon that we have in the Seifa is that just like she's asur to the Baal, she's asur to the Boel. Yet in the Lashon of, in the ratio, we say Kishim shemaitgun osa and oso. Why don't we refer to him the Boel? Rather, Kishim shemaitbokin osa, kach bokin mesa Boel, just like it says in the Seifa, that when regards to, not the Seifa, meaning the next line, Kishim shasur labal, kachasur labal. Why are you switching the Lashonas? That's what the Gemara is bothered by. So the Gemara says, la'ol on the Boel. No, it is referring to the Boel. Bereisha, because I did the Tani Osa, it's referring to her, we just say her. So therefore, just Agav, we mentioned Oso. They mentioned him. We have to remember, they used to memorize Mishnah, so it's easier when you have Osa to keep it parallel to Oso. And Sefer, whereas the next case of the Mishnah is I did the Tani Baal, Tani Boel, that since the Lashon of the Mishnah is the husband, so then to contrast the husband, we say the suspected adulterer, the Boel, the one who had relations with this woman, and therefore, the stylistically, the Mishnah lines up. That's what we were mentioning over here. That's the Shaila. The Mishnah Melech has an interesting question. He discusses whether or not the waters would test the Boel, regarding the entire Shvua. That, maybe during that one time, right? Just like Amen Amen, is a reference to, I didn't have Bia now, I didn't have any other Bia that was Usher with this Boel. So is the Boel also tested by that as well? Meaning that if she had relations with him, not when she was warned about it though, at a different time. So would the Boel still be punished? Or maybe only the woman herself is regarding Amin Amin. I would have said Pashut, just like the Lashon of the Mishnah is Pshuto. It's Keshem Shabbat, Amayim Bodkin Osa, Karach Bodkin Oso. So I don't know why so much of a question. Again, that's obviously Mishnah Melech is much stronger, a million times greater than me in Limud, but I'm just saying the Pashut of our Gemara is Pashut, that it should check him also for any potential Isser relationships that he had with her at any point in in the fact at any point that she had been married. Okay. Now the Gemara goes right to the next point of the Mishnah. Shenamar uba'u, uba'u, with a vav. That's what we learn from over there. The ekshari boy teaches that the potential ba'el, the adulterer, suspected adulterer, is also tested. Iba'ilu, so we have a question. Ba'u, uba'u, kamar. The Tana want to say that the fact that we have the extra vav is what we're inferring from. Uba'u is the reboy. Oh, uba'u, uba'u, kamar. That the actual Lashonos is based on the two times that it says uba'u in the psukim, not the fact that there's an extra vav. So the Gemara says Tashma, we could bring a raya from the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us Kashem Shasur Labal, Kachasur Labal, Shinamar Nitma Vinitma. It says over there that she should become Tame and she should become Tame. So the Tana is telling us the Lashon of Vinitma, we learn that the other one is Uba with the Vav. The extra Reboy of the Vav, that's the same Tana as Rabbi Kiva, and he is Dorish the extra Vav. But Gemara says, "V'dayin tibay." No, that's not necessarily a good raya because nitma kamar. Maybe the second case also is just talking about that the fact that the word nitma is also mentioned in two different psukim. We mentioned that nitma v'nitma is mentioned in two different psukim. It's not the vav; it's rather the fact that it's repeated. Oh, nitma v'nitma kamar, or it's the extra vav. We could ask the same exact question for that next limud of the Mishnah. So, therefore, the Gemara says, "Tashma." We could bring a proof from the Hamshech. Medigtani Seifa, because the second part of the Mishnah says Rebbe disagrees, and Rebbe says Shnei Pa'amim Ma'or Meparsha Nitma v'nitma. Rebbe says that it says two times the lashon of nitma. So rather achalabav, achalabav. He learns it from the fact that it's repetitive in the Mishnah, and therefore must imply that he was coming to argue on the previous Tana, which was Rabbi Akiva, to which the Gemara says Michal Rabbi Akiva vav kadarish. That implies that Rabbi Akiva was darish the vav. Again, they're not. Rashi already pointed out in the Mishnah. We pointed this out when we first read the Mishnah that they're not arguing halach lamaisa. They're just arguing how to learn the psukim to understand that it's testing the boel as well. So now the Gemara says, the Hilkach, therefore, Rabbi Akiva, Shisa Kreik Siva. According to Rabbi Akiva, we have six references to the fact that the waters are literally going to Ubo, going to come into her. I remember when I had the exclusive action teaching Sotas Geshmak, I'm enjoying it very much. Also, I had the chance to give it over, Baruch Hashem, to do with the yeshiva. So I remember when there's a lot of points. This is one of the davim. Also, I printed out the psukim. It's helpful just to have the psukim in front of you. Here also in the Hemshech, and then a few dappen later, we're going to have this also, which is just helpful to see the psukim in front of you. Anyway, so in Pasuk, everything is in Bamidbar Parakei. So in Pasuk Yudbeis, the Pasuk says, Ubo amayim hamayim ra'ela b'mayach litzvos beten lin poyarech b'amra isha amin amin. It's going to enter you. Then, two psukim later, in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, it says, V'ishka isa isha esmei amayim ra'am ubo'u b'hamayim. The water is going to enter her. And then it says Vishka Esamayim Vaisim Nitma Vitima Malbisha Uba Uba Amayim, again Lashon of Ba Uba Amayim. So we have over here that Rabbi Kiva is gonna understand that there really is six different allusions to this, because we said Lashon of coming in, and the extra vav is an extra reboy. So ba'u is one, and then the fact that it has a vav, uba'u, for all those cases, those are all gonna be an extra reboy. So according to Rabbi Kiva, there is six ribuyim. So what are the six ribuyim? Chad letzavadi da v'chad letzavadi day. One is coming to the fact that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaveh, that this is going to happen, that this is what's going to happen. Hashem is commanding that the waters are going to miraculously create her death if she sinned. Chad la'asiyah di da v'chad letzavadi da. That is, the next one is the actual count, actually happening. The fact that it's going to happen, that also is one alluding to him and one alluding to her. Again, that it's going to be a thing that it's going to, Hashem is promising that this is going to happen. That's the asiyah. Just like that. I could have said that Tzavana is very similar, okay? But that's the Gemara's Rasha. V'chad liyadiyah dida, v'chad liyadiyah dida. And then the other one is referring to that they have to know about it. Meaning the Kohen is telling the Sota that if she sinned, then the waters are going to cause her to die. So then the Kohen is telling her that also. So then we learn from over there that that she is informed of that. The extra vav is teaching you too that the suspected adulterer, he'll be afflicted by this also, even though he wasn't told. This part he wasn't actually told, but it's going to happen to him. That's, I guess, he sees her. He knows about it. That happened to her. He's going to be punished. Rebbe plus the correct seva, but Rebbe doesn't torch the vav. He learns only three. Chalat zavadi davah chalat seva chalidia. It's all for her. So then so the Gemara wonders, where do you learn those three things that Rebbe Kiva learned for the husband? Where does Rebbe understand that everything that happens to the woman is going to happen to the man? So the Gemara says he has a different drasha. Nafkele mechidis hanya. He learned it out from the Braisa. The Braisa teaches us that the lashon of letzabos beten lin pol yarech. The pasuk says that it's going to have him to her stomach is going to start to break apart. So then bit naviyarchol shel boel. This is actually referring to the thigh and the stomach of the suspected adulterer, he is going to be punished, that he's going to explode also. Maybe it's referring to the woman who's the sota. The pasuk already says one time that it's going to be by her. The pasuk says, "V'amar koin leisha, itein Hashem Moshe la'alah l'shuva b'toch hamech, b'dach Hashem yirchech, nefel b'yich b'yitzava." That pasuk already says about a woman, and then it repeated. It says, "It's a different pasuk that's referring to seemingly in the lashon of Zachar." So maybe that's referring to the bull, says Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, Rabbi Neviyachad about Amar. This second one is referring to the woman, the sota. So it must be that the first one, man mekaymatzav ben liberach, and the lashon that could be as par, it could be Zachar. So then I'm understanding bit of Yerachal Shabbal, that's referring to the stomach and the thigh of the suspected adulterer. He also, if he in fact did commit the crime with her, then both of them would have their stomach miraculously implode and they would die. V'idach, however, the other Tana, Rabbi Kiva is going to argue, meaning that's a very good drasha, so why do you need the Vav to teach us this? No, this is telling us the procedure. The Kohen has to tell her, first it's going to come from the stomach and then going to go to her thighs, and then she's going to implode and die from that. Because if it's not, then she would have said shalolat zilaz al mayim amarim. If she dies in another method, then she's going to say, oh no, the guy, she just had a stomach virus, and then she died from that. She got a bad flu, whatever it may have been. They're going to argue whatever it can to say that the waters weren't in fact what caused her to do that. Which is a fascinating thing. We know, like 3 months later, all of a sudden she dies. They're going to be told that people will try to do everything to minimize what Hashem's role in this, and that was then also nothing in Yonah the Yoma, the miracles of the wars that had happened, the Yom HaTzibut and the 6 Day War, they're unbelievable miracles. You can't deny that Yad Hashem was helping Klal Yisrael, and people will try to find every other excuse, like the history, the historians, or everyone like that, they'll try to find, oh, they had this right, it's like every single thing had to go right. Is there someone watching that? No, they just explain it, that's just a crazy case of luck. Also, when they had the Gulf War and they're firing all the Scud missiles to the north, it's unbelievable that the chances of firing an open population and not having, and having, they had one casualty, I think, someone, and he wasn't even died from that, I think he died from running to the thing, and it was just, the stats are unbelievable. It's like, it's just crazy. And they even looked at a research into it and they came out, it was like 1 in a million, it was crazy. Anyway, that's Yad Hashem, and here also we see that people try to be motzilaz and things that Kosh Baruch was doing all the time. Now the Gemara goes back to Vidach. Rebbe will argue, Imkein Lichtov Kra Bitna Viarcha. That the pasuk says her stomach and her thigh. So we learn from there. My beten v'yarech. So why is it beten v'yarech? It says why is it beten v'yarech? Shmamina lebal. It's coming to teach you that's including the adulterer. So you're learning both things according to Rabbi. Ema kulei lachia. That's what the Gemara says. How do you have the right to darshan these two things? Maybe it's just coming to us to tell us that the adulterer is included in the curse. How can we learn that that they would warn the woman that this is how it would come? It's her stomach and then her thigh. Maybe it's just coming to teach you that the bowl is also going to be punished. The Gemara says, because imkein lichtov bitno v'yercha. The pasuk should explicitly say that it's referring to him in the zachar, his stomach and his thigh. Why is it beten v'yerech and parv? It's just saying, so without any pronoun referring to who it is, shramina tarte, you can actually learn both. So it's a double drasha. So the fact that it says beten v'yerech and not bitno v'yercha, we can also learn that it's a procedural thing that's telling you how it's happening, and that's to the woman. And then the other side of it is telling you that it's going to happen also to the suspected boel. If he in fact had been with her, he'd be punished. Okay. The Mishnah says, "Amar Rabbi Yeshua, kachay adorish zechari ben akatzav lifnei Rabbi." That's what we learn. Now the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan." We learn in a brayso shalosh pavim ha'amur beparsha im nitma nitma v'nitma lama. Why do we have these three lashonos? Again, helpful if you have the pesukim in front of you. Pasuk again, everything's a parakei. Pasuk yudalid. Pasuk yudalid now. Va'avar alav ruach kina v'kinas ishto v'nitma. Avar alav ruach kina v'kinas ishto v'hi lo nitma. She had not become tame. And then it says over there, v'kinas ishto v'hinitma, that she did become tame. That was the first part. If she had become tame, this is going to happen. If not become tame. Now, v'ishkas amayim v'aysa im nitma, if it had been in fact that she had become tame, that is all the way in pasuk chav zayin. And then two pesukim after chav zayin, it says, zos teros haknoz, v'shetista tachas isha v'nitma, she's going to become tame. Why do I need to keep saying that she's become tame? I know, that's referring to the case. She's going to be punished. Where did she become tame? Say it once in Shalma Yisrael. So says Gemara, echa labal, v'echa labal, v'echa latruma. One is teaching us that the sota is usher to be with the suspected adulterer. One, it's usher to be with her husband. First her husband. One, two, the boel. The other one is that she's usher to eat truma. If she is bas kohen, if she's a bas kohen, normally a bas kohen, kisi ish lar, we learn that only while she's married to Yisrael, she divorces Yisrael, it says that she's allowed to go back to eat truma if she doesn't have any children from him. So here, if she gets divorced, she would not be allowed to have truma. That's the lashon of Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it's a kal v'chomer. You don't have to learn it from the drasha you have Rabbi Akiva, but it could be a kal v'chomer. What's a kal v'chomer? We learn Uma Grusha Shimutaris Lachuma Asurila Kahuna. If a woman is a Bas Kohen and she's married to a Yisrael, so the halacha is she's not allowed to eat Shuma while she's married to the Yisrael. However, she gets divorced. So she gets divorced and she didn't have any children. The halacha is she's allowed to go back and eat truma, but she's not allowed to marry a kohen. That's the halacha. She's not allowed to marry a kohen because she's a grusha at this point. So then the sota who is usher to eat truma, as you learned out from psukim, so then shouldn't we say a kava chomer that it's usher for her to marry into kahuna? Since the kava chomer tells us that the sota is possible for marrying a kohen, you don't need to. It's svara b'alma. It's a pasuk svara. So then you don't need a pasuk, a riboy in the pasuk to teach me that it is going to be not. She's not allowed to marry a kohen. That's the problem that Rabbi Shmuel had with Rabbi Akiva's drasha. So the Gemara is going to point out that. What do you mean? Rabbi Kiva was talking about Truman. Rabbi Shmuel is responding. The Gemara is going to get into that. Ma talmud lomar v'hi nitma v'hi lo nitma. So then the Braisa continues, what does the Pasuk say when it says that she become Tame, and then immediately after it says she has not become Tame? So why is the Pasukim going, seemingly the Pasuk is difficult. The first Pasuk there, Avar Alav in Pasuk Yedalad. Avar Alav Ruach Kinev V'Kines Ishto V'Nitma. Avar Alav Ruach Kinev V'Kines Ishto V'Lo Nitma. That she's not going to come Tame. Why both? In Nitma Lama Shoisa. If she had become Tame, and we know she become Tame, so why should she drink the water? Why should she drink the water? That we're telling us the witnesses saw her have bia, then it's possible that she's ushered her husband and she loses her ksuba, she doesn't drink the water. That's only to test her. If she had also known to have been tame, meaning let's say they saw her be miyachet and they saw that she didn't have bia, so that also, then also why would you be mashke her? So there, why would you be mashker at all? So therefore, magid l'chakasuv shasafek asura. The pasuk is telling you that the only even a safek sota is going to be asur. Normally, the husband is giving her in order to figure out whether or not she had really been tamei. So telling us that even with regard to the doubt that she is going to be tamei. So it's telling us that even in a case of doubt that the husband needs to be machmir and tell her that he's not allowed to be with her. So Tosas have a fundamental question over here. Tosas says, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that the husband's not allowed to be with her suspected sota? It's a suffix deraisa l'chumra. Once we know that it's possible that she may have had relations, so then he can't be with her. Why is the pasuk kind of going out of its way to tell me that she would be not allowed to be with her husband at that point? So Tosas answer that the pasuk is telling us that the Gzeiras HaKasuv is telling us that in this very case, it's not we say that Tzavik Dereisa L'Chumra, rather we're telling us that we view it as a Vadai, that Vadai she is viewed as she's guilty until proven innocent with the waters. And if the husband has bia with her during that time, he has not violated a possible Avera that's dependent on whether or not she's guilty or not, but he has committed a Vadai Isser. That's it. And he's going to be punished, even if later the water is tested, whatever, the water wasn't tested, but we somehow found out from other Edim that she had really been with him in Yichud, and they saw the whole time, and there was a video camera, whatever, something that could ascertain Bevadai that she not had relations with this guy, he would still be, Hashem is going to view it as if he had violated a Vadai Isser, not a Safek Isser. This gets into the question already mentioned once, it comes up a few times in Sotam, it's clear, almost beferish, from this Tosfos, that they hold Safek Daraisa L'Chumra is a Din Daraisa. That's very famous, the Sheish Shmaitza, the very first Sheish Shmaitza. I learned, I remember, in the Big Tal Chacham one. The first thing we opened the Sheish Shmaitza was this question. Is Safek Daraisa L'Chumra a Din Daraisa or Din Darabanan? And the Rambam, very famously, in Nochos Ava Satuma, he understands that it is a Din Darabanan. It's only a Din Darabanan that tells you Safek Daraisa L'Chumra that you have to then be Machmir. So if it's only Din Darabanan, it's very good, actually. This Gemara works out much nicer for the Rambam. Mishkasha doesn't get off the ground. Why don't you need a pasuk to tell me that the suffix you have to be machmir? Because normally it's only a din derabanan. Here we're telling you it's even a din deraisa. The only over here is going to be a din deraisa. That's what we say from over here. Okay, very fascinating thing we see from Tosas. Not that way. Tosas seems all like the Rashba, that a suffix deraisa l'chumra is in fact a din deraisa. Okay. So now the Gemara continues that the suffix is asura. Mikana tadan l'sheret. So now the Gemara is going to say from here we can learn a similar halacha with regards to a tumah of sheret. Remember, shmona shvatim are the things that are going to be an avatuma. A person who touches them is going to be tameh for, he has to be tameh for a day. He's tameh, and if he goes to the mikveh that day, that night already by shkia, he is going to be tahor. Or tzeis. Ma sota shaloa. So now we learn from we can learn the following comparison between a sheretz and a sota. Ma sota shaloa sabo shoge kemezid. We know that if a woman does something unintentionally, what's unintentional? Rashi gives the example. If there's two, Reuben's married to Sarah, and Shimon is married to Leah, and Shimon accidentally had relations with Reuven's wife, at middle of the night. It was pitch black. They didn't realize, and he had a relation. They didn't realize who each other were, and they both had. Rashi actually says they both didn't realize, which is interesting. She'll only be with. She doesn't realize, but either way, that's a fascinating Rashi. People discuss that. But the point is that they both didn't realize that they had relations with someone who was usher to them, and therefore they were considered shogig. So the halacha is that each one is permitted to go back to their wives. Reuven is permitted to go back to Sarah, and Shimon is permitted to go back to Leah. That's the case of shogig. And ones karatzon, and obviously if a woman is raped, she is, if she's Israelis, the coins aside, but for Israelis, she's allowed to go back to her husband. Because she did not willingly have relations with the guy raped her. So then, yet when it comes to all these cases, we say a case of pas of doubt that maybe she's tame, maybe she's not, and we treat her like vada that she's definitely tame. Sheretz she'asa b'shogeg kemezid v'ones keratzon. In regards to a sheretz, where the Torah tells us that the is shogeg kemezid v'ones keratzon, where it doesn't matter how you touch the sheretz, it could be you fell off a cliff and you hit the sheretz, it doesn't matter. They have the biggest onus in the world, you're still tame, it doesn't matter. So the Kal Vachomer is going to tell you, Einu din she'asebo safek, turning on to the next amud, kevadai, isn't going to be for sure that we should be machmir to tell us that when you're not sure if you touch a sheretz, that it should be treated as a vadai. Now, the Rishonim point out that lechor, this brisa is telling us a Kal Vachomer, but there's an obvious pircha in the Kal Vachomer. There's an obvious kasha you can ask on the Kal Vachomer. How can you compare a case of tuma to a case of sota? When it comes to a case of sota, there's the rule of raglayim ledavar. There's a very strong chance that she had done this. There's a reason to assume that she had become tameh because he warned her against specifically being secluding herself with this man. And the fact that now she secluded herself, that uncertainty is treated as a vade because there's what's called raglayim ledavar. There's grounds to assume that it should be tameh. So therefore, the Rishonim answer that really, this really is just halacha l'Moshe Misina, that we have this comparison between a sota and a case of a sheretz, but really, it's not really through a Kal Vachomer. That's what we're learning over here, that it's really just a comparison, but it's not really a Kal Vachomer. So now the Gemara points out in Makom Shabbas about that which you learn from the case of sota itself, we can learn a rule for safek tuma. Ma sota reshusa yachid, just like a sota. When do we treat her as like a certainty that she's tamei? Only when it's in a private domain. Reshusa yachid. Av sheretz reshusa yachid. So to the parallel case with regards to a sheretz is only when it's going to be in reshusa yachid. So therefore we learn that when a question comes up, whether someone touched their sheretz or not, so the halacha is going to be that you're going to be tameh only when you're in Ereshus HaYachid like a sota. Again, it's not svara. It's just halacha l'moshe misina that we're comparing the case of a sota to the case of tumah v'tahara. So the halacha is going to be that when it comes to, you're not sure if you touched it, if it was in Ereshus HaRabim, you're going to be tahor, and Ereshus HaYachid, you're going to have to view it as you are tameh, that you touched it. Now, it's important to note that the halachas of Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYochid are not like they are for Hilchos Shabbos. Rishus HaRabim by Hilchos Shabbos, let's say, has to be a street that's open, 16 amos, whatever. The halachas of what you define Rishus HaRabim are. That's not the halachas of here. The halachas of here could be even in your house, your own private house. But you're with a minimum of three people, it's based on the people. The case of Sota is that it was just her and the suspected Boa. If it was three people or more, the halacha is going to be that you would, in fact, you'd be tahor, even if it's in your private house. And the same thing, if you're on a road and it's the middle of the night, 3 a.m. and nobody's there, and you may have touched a sheretz, so then you'd be tameh because nobody's around. That's the halacha with regards to a Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim. It's just to point out that people ask a kasha in the Rambam, there's a famous Rambam that says that if the husband warns his wife against secluding herself with two men at the same time, and they're both considered prutzim, and she does seclude herself with both of them, then she would be subject to halachas of the Meisota. Lechora over there, that's a case of Rishus HaRabim, and that's not, the Gemara's whole limud is that it's only when you have two people to three people, because of the fact that over there is only two people. That's the paradigm case of Sota. You can't have another case of Sota. Lechora, that's against the Ramam of that Ramam is a problematic with this Gemara. Many, many of the Achronim all deal with this Kasha. The Shar Yosher, Rosh Mishkab, the Beis Halevi, this is a big question, the Achronim, how to answer this Ramam, but that's the din over here. So, and now the Gemara learns another halacha though. Another halacha Moshe Mishinai Masota, Davar Sheesh Bodas Lishoel, just as it comes to a sota, the sota has to have, right? We know the sota, she knows, she's a bar das, she's a bas mitzvah to be subject to the lacha of the sota waters. So then, she has to have das, av sheretz davar sheyesh bo das lishal. When it comes to the case of a sheretz, it can only be that it has to be something with das lishal, to the exclusion of a sota, the exclusion of, let's say it was on an animal, you had truma or some chulin that was tahard on an animal, you're not sure if a sheretz touched touch the top of where you're storing the bread. So the animal has no dasli shal, so then it's going to be tahor even in a reshus hayachid. That's the din over there. Mekan amrum davar shesh badas lishal birshus hayachid sveiko tamei. If it's something which can be questioned, fundamentally, it doesn't matter if he knows about it, but it's someone who has das above the age of bar mitzvah, then the suffix in the yach in the rishus hayachid would be tameh, rishus harabim sveiko would be tahar. However, if she'ein bo das lishal, but if the situation arises that it's something that doesn't, as we give the example, if it's on an animal or a katan below the age of bar mitzvah or a shota, so then bein rishus hayachid bein rishus harabim, the halach is going to be sveiko is going to be tahar. That's going to be the din with the suffix. So we learn three halachas from the case of sota. That when it's a suffix tumah versus a yachid, it's tameh, only with dasli shael, and if it's versus a rabim, it's going to be tar. Those are the three halachas that we learn from the case of sota. That's the point over here. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, now let's look at the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva learned it from a Kava Chomer. Amar Rabbi Kiva Truma. Rabbi Kiva talked about the halacha that she's going to be tameh in regards to Truma. And he responds saying, hey, Rabbi Kiva, you're wrong because she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. Rabbi Kiva seemed to be talking about Truma also. What are you talking about marriage to Kuna? Visu, Rabbi Kiva Kuna Minale. So, and the second question that the Braisa doesn't mention, it's just a side question we're wondering now. Where would Rabbi Kiva learn that she's usher to marry into a Kohen? We don't know that from the Drusha. Rabbi Yishmael was learning it from a Kava Chomer, but what's Rabbi Kiva doing? So the Gemara says, you could say maybe Rabbi Kiva Kehuna, that fact that she's not allowed to marry a Kohen is Pashut, because she is a Suffolk Zona, turning on to Chavtes Amud Aleph, Sharei Asaba, Suffolk Zona Kezona. The Torah tells us that a Suffolk Zona is like a confirmed Zona, with regards to a Sota, so therefore, we learn that she's Bia La Pasola, and since she's suspected of having Bia outside of wedlock, outside of her relationship with her husband, she is going to be like a Zona, who's also to a Kohen. So you can answer, Truma Nami Loti Bayach Kratz. And if that's the case, why do you need a drusha for Truma, which Rabbi Kiva does have? Sharei Asaba, Suffolk Zona Kezona, because the Torah tells us that we tell you that she's like a Suffolk Zona, yet Rabbi Kiva had to have a drusha teaching us that she's puzzled from Truma. So the fact that the Torah tells us that she is like a confirmed Sota, even though she's not, so then she should be puzzled from Truma and puzzled from Kahuna. Why have a drusha for one and not the other? So the Gemara is bothered by all this. So the Gemara says, Elul Rabbi Kiva Arba Krak Sivas. It must be that according to Rabbi Kiva, the case of Nitma'a is really, there's four times. Three times Nitma'a is mentioned explicitly, and one actually has the word of Vinitma with the Vav. That's what we're learning, the extra vav there. Chad le-baal, v'chad le-baal, v'chad le-kahuna, v'chad le-truma. That's teaching us one is for the baal, one's for the baal, one's for the for kahuna, that she's usher to marry a kohen. The other one is telling us she's usher to eat truma. That she, all these cases, she's going to be usher. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel plus a kroik sive, but Rabbi Shmuel understands that there's only three psukim. Chad le-baal, v'chad le-baal, v'chad le-truma. Kahuna, I learned that from a Kava Chomer. So Rabbi Shmuel mentions the Kava Chomer to respond to Rabbi Kiva. He had to learn it from the Vav. I don't have to learn it from the Vav, says Rabbi Shmuel. I only learn it from the Kava Chomer. So the Gemara is going to continue. The Kuna, we'll get back to that. Be'ez Hashem, the Rabbi Shmuel. Be'ez Hashem in tomorrow's daf.